papers here or something.
Can you hear me? I'm Ralph Dantino, 5th Ward Alderman, and I will be chairing the meeting tonight. Let me get the right agenda here. There is no consent agenda today, so the first...
Yes, there is.
There's always
one item.
Oh, okay. First of all, it's called to order. I see all aldermen here except for Alderman Pollock and Vogelsberg, so the third ward is missing tonight. Consent agenda. There is a consent. Okay. We have to consider the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
All of those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Mayor wants to speak about something here.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may have noticed on your way into City Hall this evening, the City of Geneva flag is flying at half staff and will be through Wednesday evening. The flag is flying for, sadly, several reasons, the first of which I shared with the council members last night. A longtime Geneva resident and father of six, First Ward resident, as Mr. Hill and Mr. Brown are well aware, Mr. Patrick O'Shea passed away last week at the tender age of 81 years old. Again, he was a father of six. He and his wife moved to Geneva from D.C. His wife was then pregnant with her sixth child. He picked out the house, believe it or not, and he used to live in my old neighborhood. If you know those homes, those are pretty, how should we say, cozy homes with six kids, if you could imagine. All their kids are very successful. His father, or their father, rather, had lived in Wheaton for the last several years of his life, but they chose to wake their father here in Geneva because Geneva is and always will be his home. So we were very proud of his homecoming this evening. We send their family our thoughts and prayers. We also have some very sad news to report this evening with more details to follow. The City of Geneva's police chief, Steve Mexon, lost his mother earlier today. The chief will be obviously attending to his family, and we want him to know that we are thinking of him and his extended family as well. And a longtime Geneva resident, a character in the finest sense of the word, Mr. Rick Liesendahl, passed away earlier this week. So we extend our sympathies to his extended family as well. So in honor of those three members of our community, friends of those we work with, those we loved, those we enjoyed working with, I would ask everyone to please just bow their heads for a moment of silence. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Now we'll move on to some nicer news, happier news. We're going to recognize Deputy Chief Scott Spencer for 30 years of dedicated service to the City of Geneva. And again, I'm going to turn this over to the mayor because he's got a certificate, and take it away.
This is very exciting. Gene, can you turn that portable microphone on since we get to embarrass the deputy chief?
Awesome.
Now, you'll notice we have a big crowd here tonight. It's not because of the tax levy. This is because of Deputy Fire Chief Scott Spencer. Scott, you began your service 1980, is that right?
Full time,
1980. Come on up to the microphone, big guy. This is awesome. This guy used to be my baseball coach. Now I can command him around.
Full-time, 1980, paid on call, 1977.
Good Lord. Yeah. 1980. I was a sophomore in high school, dude. That's amazing. And you were what, eighth grade?
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome. And when did you meet Mrs. Spencer?
A couple years after that, and we were married in 1983.
No kidding. Yeah. She knew what she was getting into?
She did. She came from a family of firefighters.
Was that right?
From West Chicago, Glen Allen area.
Wow. Arsonists or firefighters? I'm sorry.
Firefighters.
Same thing.
Is it really? That's good. What an illustrious career you've had, Deputy
Yes,
Fire Chief.
Absolutely.
And since 1980, things have changed.
Slightly. Yeah.
Will you recall your most fearful and your most fondest memory as part of the fire department?
I think my most fearful, I was just quoted in the paper just a couple of days ago. I was lost in a fire down in Batavia about 3 or 4 years ago and scared to death. And so I was able to manage my way out of that, so that's probably the most scared I've ever been. You're scared any time you go to a fire. If anybody tells you otherwise, they're nuts. But I think my proudest moment was our send-off for Lieutenant Chuck Lencioni. I think that was an incredibly proud moment for mm-hmm. myself and the rest of the department.
Indeed. Indeed. And a lot has changed in the firefighting world.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what's the one thing that's remained the same in those 30 years that you've been serving?
Fire can get you. And if you don't train and you don't take care of the ones that are on your team, you could end up at a wake like Chicago is dealing with these next couple of days. So hopefully everybody will keep those firefighters in their prayers as well.
Will we be sending a delegation to the wake?
In fact, there were, I think, when I was leaving work this afternoon, there were about 8 guys that were heading off to the wake in Oaklawn this evening. Yeah, so, yeah, quite amazing. I know on the news they were interviewing firefighters from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and I'm sure they're from all over the country. So, yeah.
And
a good ride.
I bet. But none of the kids followed you in your line of work.
No, they did not, thank God.
And why is that? I mean, clearly I know they're brighter, but what's the motivating reason?
They all found other things that suited them. My oldest daughter's a high school history teacher, and the other two are still finding themselves. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
That's a typical dad response.
About it, huh?
So in other words, they're living at home eating your food?
Yeah, a couple of them are. That's okay. I don't mind.
Sounds a good gig, man. Yeah. Well, you lived at your parents' house until what, last June?
I got out when the gun was good.
Yeah.
So.
Scott grew up on that, unheralded street we call Anderson Boulevard.
I did.
In Geneva. It's now a plaqued home. You know that? No, it's not. I'm just kidding. Here's where Scott lived. That's what it says.
There's a big plaque out front.
It goes from 30 to 75, right in that neighborhood. Yeah. I just fly right by. Do you want to introduce the family that's with you tonight? We'd love to meet them and make sure you be kind and clear because the whole world is watching.
I'm aware of that. My great understanding wife, Kathy. My daughter, Mallory, next to her. My son-in-law, Stephen. My son, Adam. My father, Dick and Eve Spencer. And my in-laws, Fran and Jean Gallagher, in front of them. So.
Well, tell us a little bit about the kids. I mean, who cares about Steve? Tell us about your daughter and your son. I mean, your daughter, of course, had an illustrious career.
Mallory played, she's a Batavia Bulldog, and proud to say that.
Yes.
Even in the Geneva City Council chambers. She went on to play soccer and earn a bachelor's degree at Millikan University in Decatur. And came home.
Now, your dad talked about you the whole time.
Yeah, he did.
It was unbelievable.
He did.
Pictures in the office and blah, 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 blah.
But she played 4 years of soccer down there and then came back and was lucky enough to get a teaching job at South Elgin High School.
Oh, cool.
And she's a U.S. history teacher, honors history teacher, and coaches girls soccer.
How's the soccer program at South Elgin?
It's a new school. It's a new school, so you got to give them a little break.
That's clearly you learned from your father about that.
My son Adam is a sophomore at Illinois State currently, and
Redbird.
See where that goes.
Awesome. And Steve, you just hang out, man?
Pretty much.
Steve and Pete would get along. They're both IT guys. So.
Cool. Yeah, Steve's got shorter hair, but
well,
that's
he
good.
Does have shorter hair. Yeah. Yes, he does.
And Mom and Dad, good to see you back in Geneva. These are docile people on TV, but boy, you go to a football game or a basketball game at Geneva High School, whoa, unbelievable. And of course, we should note for the history books that Spence's sister, Sue, was for many, many years the Geneva Viking.
She was, the mascot. Yep.
The mascot. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. Yep. And I believe she's in Dallas still?
She's in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Enjoying a little warmer weather than we
Hopefully
are.
She's watching tonight.
I don't know. We'll see.
We just got an email saying, my God, my brother looks like hell.
Is that right?
That's unbelievable. Nice I'll get letters coming. About that, by the way. And, of course, the in-laws.
Yep. They're awesome.
Any comments you want to make off the record regarding your son-in-law? They owe you money, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, we're very proud of you, Scott.
Thank you.
Very proud of you. I know it's been a great career. Geneva's fire department obviously is certainly, I think, one of the finest, if not the finest, in the land. And it's because of folks like you and the chief and the other deputy chief and all the men and women who who, as I think you've put it before, it's feast or famine at the fire department.
Something like that.
It could be quiet, and then the next minute you're putting your lives on the line, even in this little hamlet we call Geneva. So.
Exactly.
And I must admit that when you rescued me from my life-threatening car crash, despite the laughter from the fire department, I thought it was a well done.
I'm glad the guys took good care of you.
Yeah, they did. That was just lovely.
Nice to hear. Lovely.
Deputy Chief. I was teasing your parents earlier tonight. I said that as we discussed the levy tonight, it was going to be a balanced budget. We had to buy you a cake. So come on up here, handsome. How many years did you coach baseball? Literally, I was Scott's baseball player. I was pretty much a damn good player, but I played. I was 10 years.
Yeah, you were 10 years old when I was. Yeah.
How old were you? Oh, so you were 18, something like that? Remember, you used to buy us beer and everything? That was great. That wasn't that awesome? That was great. Oh, God, that was good days. That was good days. Deputy Chief, this is a very humble certificate. Obviously, it's just a token of our appreciation. And it reads, this certificate is hereby awarded to Scott Spencer in recognition of his 30 years of dedicated and distinguished service to the city of Geneva, awarded this 27th day of December, 2010. Those are original signatures. Authenticated. You can sell these on eBay.
Nothing.
So the microphone's yours. You've said enough already, I know, but perhaps something special to your family for allowing them to allow us to borrow you.
Anybody who's in the fire service needs to have an... I can go to get through this.
Really hope so.
You have to have a real understanding family, and I do, and running out on dinners and holidays and everything else, it's hard sometimes, and you need to have people that understand that, and they really do, and I can't thank you enough for that. That's all I got.
Take a few minute break and have some cake and coffee, I guess. I guess since there was a party here, Alderman Vogelsberg showed up.
Oh, there's what? There was a party here, so Alderman Vogelsberg showed up.
Thank you, Scott and family. Feel free to leave, as I see you're doing. Take the cake if you want the rest. Thank you. We'll move on to this item 4B, which is our downtown master plan project update. We're going to hear from Dick Hunch briefly.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, briefly. Let me just pull up slides here. As you may know, well, I know you know, we've been at work on this downtown master plan project now for about 4 months, and Mary asked me to give you a little update as to what we've been doing and where we're going. And so a couple of basic things here, just to kind of give you some just quick points to note as we go through the planning process. Bear in mind that this is a 12 to 13-month planning process. We've been through about four and a half months of it, and we've had a lot of involvement with community, and we're at an exciting stage in the process where we start really talking about specific policies, plans, recommendations, and strategies that we would employ in guiding the future of downtown Geneva. The purpose of the plan is pretty straightforward: to provide an overall vision for the future of downtown and to help us in making development decisions and to provide policies and detailed recommendations to implement that vision. The scope of work is actually an eight-step process, and we've been through four of those steps. In step one, we had some initial kickoff meetings at the staff level and with our downtown master plan committee, which is made up of 15 Genevans and the transit agencies, the three transit agencies that were involved with Metra, Pace, and the railroad. Step two involved online outreach and media. There's a project website that can be accessed right at the bottom of the city's homepage. There's a link there. It takes you right to the website, gives you a lot of information about all the background in the planning process, what we've been doing, summary reports of workshops and meetings we've held. There's also on there, we still have, as a matter of fact, online resident and business questionnaires that we used about 6 weeks past here in the planning process and gathering resident perspectives on their ideas, concerns, and issues that they'd like to see addressed as the planning process moved forward. There's also a community-based mapping charrette tool right on the project website, which gives you an opportunity to kind of create your own map of what you think is important to be addressed in a downtown plan for Geneva. It's kind of a neat tool, and you can actually save it to the website and incorporate any and all ideas that you might have about the downtown right there online. And then we've done various things with social media and RSS feeds to give people an opportunity to register to receive feeds as they are updated, as the project website is updated. We've done email blasts to some 3,000 or 4,000 folks that are on our community email list. Community outreach-wise, we've done a number of workshops that you can see there with the community and elected and appointed officials, business owners, property owners in the downtown. We've done some focus groups and some key person interviews. And then step four in the process is the step that we've just about concluded. It involves review of existing conditions in the area and some additional analyses that are being performed by our planning consultant. I should keep in mind, I should let you know here, just for the public, just to understand that our exercise here is being led by the planning consulting firm of Halseal Levine and Associates. And we're working directly with them both at the staff level and through the Downtown Master Plan Committee as work progresses. Review of past plans and studies. There's been some review of the zoning ordinance. There's been a market analysis update performed looking at the residential market down here as well as the retail and office market in the downtown, looking at existing land use and development. Community and government facilities along with infrastructure has been a big part of the study because we're looking at the various needs, the post office, the county, the library, city hall, and looking at what the future holds in those areas for the downtown. Certainly parking access, circulation, transit are a big part of the plan, and a number of aspects have been drawn out through the workshopping and through the various analyses performed. Assessment of downtown sub-areas and growth potential, and here we're really looking at opportunities where we might introduce change into the downtown and what that might be. It actually flows right into the identification of catalyst sites or opportunity sites for redevelopment, and those have also been identified in a preliminary form in a draft document that we're working on. We've looked at the cultural and historical resources in the downtown, parks and open space, environmental features, streetscape and urban design. We've done an assessment of downtown activity and an existing condition synthesis report, as it's called, is in draft form. This is actually one of the hard copy versions of it. It's about 100 pages that summarizes all of this work. And staff and consultants are right now tweaking the document, making some adjustments to it, and we expect this to be available online here in the next couple of weeks for further review and comment by the public. And then just to let you know what's coming here, Step five in the downtown planning process involves a vision charrette or workshop. It looks like we'll be conducting that sometime in February. It'll probably be mid-February. And this will be an opportunity for the entire community to be involved in a major exercise that will really be, you know, rolling up your shirt sleeves and working in groups in small teams and looking at very specific ideas that can be incorporated into a downtown plan. And we're really looking to leave no stone unturned in terms of creativity and just whatever ideas people have are welcome and are really really anxious to get into this part of the process. Out of that workshop will flow then the development of concept plans that the consulting team will focus on. And much of this is going to have to do with areas where we think change might be possible to address the plan's objectives. Some of this will involve three-dimensional imagery and looking at relationships between historic assets downtown and potential areas for development or redevelopment. The seventh step would be actually the downtown stationary master plan. Hmm. Right. Yeah. The downtown stationary master plan will then be developed, be formulated, and then there'll be an opportunity for further review and comment on that document. And then the final step would be actually bringing the plan forward to the Plan Commission, then to the City Council for further action. The one thing that I thought I would do would be to just highlight a couple of things here that the culmination of this document, this existing conditions synthesis report, is basically a drawing together of what's important, what are the key things that we should be looking at as we look to the future and formulating a plan. And so the issues and opportunities, and I'm not going to go through them all right now because this is just a five-minute overview here, but the categories that we'll be looking at involve residential and office and commercial development and mixed-use development, areas where redevelopment might be possible. We're looking at parcel ownership very carefully to see how that affects growth and expansion and change. And, of course, community facilities and zoning and the various parking needs that we have. Traffic, pedestrian mobility, bicycle mobility, transit, and then open space in its different forms. So this is where we're at right now. We're about to enter step five, as I outlined before here, which is that step dealing with that big community workshop that we'll be holding in mid-February. And so that's where we're at right now, and I'm available for questions.
Thank you, Dick. Does anybody have any questions?
And you have a handout on your mm-hmm. dais.
Everybody
here,
has slides. Handout. Alderman Brown?
I did attend the meeting of the Downtown Planning Commission, and it did come up the question of whether this document should be made public, because there's some things in it that are controversial.
Yes.
And will the City Council get a chance to look at it before you decide to make it public?
Well, at this point, the City Council can review and comment on it at any time. What the City Council has done is they've charged the Downtown Master Plan Committee. In fact, the mayor has charged the Downtown Master Plan Committee to do its work in formulating this plan. So everything going through, all the deliverables, all the documents being produced throughout the planning process are considered to be in draft form and subject to continuous review and comment and modification. So what I would see at this point is this fine-tuning that we're doing to the document that will take place over the next couple of weeks. We'd like to be in a position to actually post that then on the website for further public review and comment. Certainly from the standpoint of what we're doing, there's no problem in having the document reviewed first by the council, but we're acting on a charge that's been given to the Downtown Master Plan Committee to produce its work and then to look at the documents that are being produced as all works in progress, working documents subject to public comment, review, change, modification, what have you.
the document at the moment on the web, the link is actually password protected.
So. That's correct. Yeah. Done intentionally.
Can the City Council contact you if they wish to take a look at
it? Absolutely.
Would that be appropriate?
That would be the appropriate way to go. That's what we'd recommend. I want to make sure that the Downtown Master Plan Committee continues doing its work. If anyone on the council wants to discuss a particular issue with staff or with the consulting team, by all means, we're interested in dialoguing and hearing.
Council should not be in the position of trying to step on the toes of the committee and let them do their work, but it was, as you know, some of your staff who pointed out that there are some fairly controversial things in the
sure.
current draft.
That's right.
So
yeah.
I'm wondering what the right way to handle that is, in your mind.
Well, in my mind, it's all about getting the staff and the consultant and the master plan committee all in the same sheet of music. There are so many different facets to the downtown, and we've got right now with this existing conditions report a 100-page document. So there's a lot of meat here. There's a lot to it. And having some items of controversy come up wasn't totally unexpected.
So I think it's appropriate to warn the public that this document, although linked, is actually password protected, and that's being done on purpose. So
it is, and it will be made public here shortly.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Dick.
You're welcome.
Next on the agenda is item 4C, consider approval of the Certificate of Acceptance Resolution for Stonewood Glen. We're working on getting the lights on. If maybe Dan will do that for us. Thank you. So I'm looking for a motion.
So moved.
Motion second. By Alderman Marks.
Second.
Second by Alderman Brown. Any questions for Dan? Seeing none, we're prepared to vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 4D is consider approval of the First Amendment to agreement for sale and purchase of electric capacity and energy between WN, Illinois Renewable Energy, which is Waste Management, LLC, and the City of Geneva for the years 2011 and 2012.
So moved.
Second.
That was by Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. Any questions or comments for, I think I seen Mr. Buffington here.
Always the back left.
Back left, okay. I looked right first. Seeing no questions. Oh, Alderman Brown has a question.
Just should be noted for the record that this does qualify in most circles as green energy. This is recycled natural gas, methane gas that's coming out of our landfill out on Fabian and Kirk, so that, as I say, in many circles, this is considered to be a very green energy that we're getting here, and is certainly good. It's certainly true that burning methane gas is much better than allowing it to escape into the atmosphere, so this makes a lot of sense, and I think the electric department should be commended for following through and renewing this contract. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Alderman
Flanagan?
I just want to
make a comment, and everybody should note that it's at a lower rate, too, that we're purchasing,
yes.
Which is commendable.
Thank you for pointing that out. Seeing no more questions, voice vote is sufficient here. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Next item is item 4E, consider approval of one-year extension of management agreement with BOM Property Services Incorporated for administration of the Fisher Farms SSA number 16 in an amount not to exceed $9,999.96.
So moved. Oh.
Before you make your, Dick has a slight change here.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to just bring to your attention, we did discover with the help of the Fisher Farms Master Association President Mark Findall that we had a wrong number in here with regard to Bound Property Services contract amount. The correct dollar amount for that contract is $10,999.92 or $916.66 monthly. And that's a contract amount that was approved back in 06, and BOM in their conducting their administrative services regarding the Fisher Farms SSA has kept that cost level since 2006. So I just wanted to bring to your attention that, that's the correct number.
Okay, thank you.
Is that motion to be withdrawn?
Yeah. Well,
is that next it never was never accepted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never got a second. So.
Yeah. All right, so now we're looking for a motion.
With the correct.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks with a second by Alderman Piper on the corrected amount of $10,999.92. Any questions about that from anybody? Seeing none, voice vote is acceptable. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Item 4I, I'm sorry, 4F. Consider approval of one-year extension of landscape contract with Mutz Landscape Incorporated for Fisher Farms Special Service Area Number 16 in the amount not to exceed $53,380. Looking for a motion on that as well?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Hill. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, we'll prepare to vote. If voice vote sufficient, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Now we're on the back of the page. Item 4G is consider approval of amendment to City of Geneva Code of Ordinances Title 4, Business and License Regulations, and Title 11, Zoning, in order to establish use permissibly and licensing regulations for adult use businesses.
Second.
Approval by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Piper. This is something that came back to us from last week. There were some changes made. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Dick, I think we did a good job on the change, and I'm satisfied with that now as well. So, Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I was absent the first time we talked about it because I was sick, but I did want to say thank you to all the aldermen who spoke up and delayed it and all the residents because, as was stated, that part of Glencairn really is an extension of the neighborhood, no doubt about it. The public bus stop is there and the school bus stop. So I really appreciate the work you and David DeGroote did, Dick, too. And the attorney to switch it out because I think it's a much better fit. It just was not going to, it really would have been part of our neighborhood, no doubt about it. So I appreciate all the work, and I'm sorry I wasn't here, but it obviously has did better without me. So thank you.
Glad you mentioned that. we're ready, prepared to vote now. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0 again. Number 4H, consider approval of amendment to the City of Geneva Code of Ordinances, Chapter 13, Title 1, Freedom of Information Inquirers.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Piper, seconded by Alderman Hill. Any questions or comments for City Administrator Mary McKittrick? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I have a little problem reading the ordinance with the understanding the language of Section 2 conflict. It says that in the event there is an amendment to the Freedom of Information Act, which causes a provision of Chapter 13 of the Geneva City Code to be more restrictive than the corresponding provision of the Act, the more restrictive provision of the Act shall prevail. And I don't, the sentence doesn't seem to make sense. One of those should say less restrictive. No, they shouldn't both say more restrictive, should they? I think what we want is the more restrictive provision of the city code to prevail if the state code is made less restrictive. Is that correct?
That is the standard language that we've used in our ordinances. The point of this is to add the additional exemption, to add the exemption for personnel evaluations. That's the housekeeping measure.
We're adding that exemption to the state code.
We're adding that to our city code because it's already been added to the state statutes. So this is housekeeping.
I understood that part of it, but what I didn't understand is this business of if there is a further amendment to the Illinois code, which causes it to be more restrictive, then the corresponding provision of the Act, which would be the state code, shall prevail.
We cannot be less restrictive than the state statute.
But this says if there's an amendment to the Illinois Code which makes the city code more restrictive, the only way they could amend theirs to make the city code more restrictive is if they made theirs less restrictive. That's the part I don't understand. It says if there is amendment which causes a provision of our code to be more restrictive, that implies they must have made theirs less restrictive.
But that's not actually what we're amending. I mean, that's legalese language, you know, which can be considered or not. But what we're actually amending is the part of the Freedom of Information exemption. So
I understood that. I just don't understand this conflict clause. And if Ms. Dawkins is comfortable with it, it's the two more restrictive seem to conflict with each other.
It was drafted by the city attorney. So.
Okay.
Can I take a
rest
stab
my
at
case
it?
And I will vote
please
for this.
Please do.
And talk to Mr. Radovich as to how we understand this language, because the sentence doesn't appear to make sense to me. Thank you.
We'll have that checked. Alderman Maladra?
I didn't see it as all that difficult. What it's saying is in matters of personnel information, whatever happens with the state, we will take the more restrictive road. We will protect personnel information. And we'll be more restrictive with that information, regardless of what happens in the state. And I believe that that's probably the more legally defensible path to take.
Correct.
So it's not just a general Freedom of Information Act thing. It's specific to personnel evaluations.
I agree that should say it, in which case the last clause should say the more restrictive provision of the city code shall prevail, not of the Act. Because the Act is identified in the first part of the sentence Act.
We're taking the more restrictive. What if the state becomes more restrictive? We'll do that.
And
all it's saying is we will take the more
restrictive.
As long
as Mr. Radovich is going to review this and make sure that it's worded correctly, I do not have a problem. But
okay, actually,
it's a little confusing.
We're just changing the exemption is what
right, I
yeah, we're voting on right now. So hopefully Mr. Radovich will check this over.
I think it's the more restrictive position of the city code that we wish to prevail.
Thank you.
So things go worse when the city attorney's not here.
What?
Things go worse when he's not here.
Anyway, I have no problem as long as it will be reviewed again by Mr. Radovich. Thank you very much. It's probably just me not understanding the legalese correctly. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
There was a question from the audience, Mr. Chairman.
Step to the podium and state your name.
Jeff Ward. Mr. Brown, what they're saying is...
Your address as well.
Jeff Ward, 189 Abbey Lane. Mr. Brown, what they're saying is the city cannot be more restrictive than the state. What they're saying is the state law prevails. Thus, if it gets more restrictive, we will get more restrictive. But the city cannot be more restrictive than the state law.
Oh, thank you. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
As far as we understand it?
That's correct.
Thank you. Therefore, we're ready to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. We're going to move on to number 4I, which is to consider approval of ordinance number 2010-52 for the general 2010 tax levy in the amount of $4,634,030. Looking for a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Alderman Maladra, seconded by Alderman Marks. We have Tom Dahl, our city finance manager here, to answer any questions. Tom, why don't you come up to the podium anyway, because you need to be introduced to everybody. Tom started a couple weeks ago, and tell us something about yourself here. Put you on the spot. That's what the mayor would do.
Yeah, you got it exactly.
The chairman and I were arguing over who could put you on the spot, so I thought you did a great job.
A little bit about myself. Before I was here, I was at Hanover Park. I was the assistant finance director there. I was previous to that at the Village of Addison. I worked for GFOA, the National Association of Finance Officers. And prior to that, I had my other career, which was I have a bachelor's in biology, and so I did 11 years of research with Northwestern University. and left that to pursue a career in accounting. And
all that is only 27.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So any questions for Tom while he's up here?
Welcome on board.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome
thank
to
you.
Geneva.
Thank you, everybody.
So we have, it depends what the questions are. Then we'll tell you,
We have a question from Alderman Flanagan.
I don't have a question as much as I have. Thank you for putting together, and I'm not the papers to that kind of explained not only the general tax levy, but gave us also some summary items that were clear, because it kind of departmentalized everything. And then I liked your summary inside the packet that just showed the line items for the general general fund too. So that was good. And if that can continue on, then at least I can compare years to years, because that's what I try to do. So
yeah, that's
I appreciated
the best thing to do.
That.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome.
No other questions or comments? Seeing none, then we're prepared to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Move on to item 4J. Consider approval of ordinance number 2010-53, the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special service area number 1 in the amount of $177,000.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Piper, seconded by Alderman Marks. I'm sorry. Alderman Marks. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, voice vote is sufficient. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. You can stay there, Tom, though. We might have some questions here. 4K, consider approval of ordinance number 2010-54 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special service area number 4 in the amount of $11,950. This is Randall Square.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, voice vote again. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. 4L, consider approval of ordinance number 2010-55 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes and special service area number 5 in the amount of $7,750, which is Williamsburg.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions for Tom? Seeing none, voice vote again is sufficient. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Moving on to 4M, consider approval of ordinance number 2010-56 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special service area number 7, the amount of $2,750. That's Blackberry. Looking for a motion as well.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Hill. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, a voice vote again is sufficient. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. 4N, consider approval of ordinances number 2010-57 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special service area number 9 in the amount of $3,000. This is Geneva Knowles. Again, we're looking for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Vogelsberg, seconded by Alderman Brown. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, a voice vote again is sufficient. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Moving on to 4-0, consider approval of ordinance number 2010-58 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special service area number 11, the amount of $53,000. This is in Eagle Brook.
Move approval.
Second.
Okay.
And this one.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion by Hill, seconded by Alderman Maladra.
The ordinance states 53,000. What is the correct number?
53.
53.
Yes.
Good.
53,000 is the correct number. Any comments or questions from anybody?
Motion to accept that as a friendly amendment?
I think I said 53. It is 53,000. Yeah. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Item P. This one is the one where we have a different amount here. There should be a paper on your desk, 2010-59. Consider approval of ordinance number 2010-59 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special area number 16 in the amount of $136,800. This is Fisher Farms. Is that correct, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Marks. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, voice vote again is sufficient on 4P. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Item 4Q, consider approval of ordinance number 2010-60 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special service area number 18 in the amount of $1,460. This is Wildwood.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Brown. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, voice vote is sufficient. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. 4R, consider approval of ordinance number 2010-61 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for the special service area number 23 in the amount of $1,060. This is Sunset Meadows.
Approval.
Approval by motion by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Piper. Sorry about that. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, voice vote again is sufficient. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. And the last one is 4S. Consider approval of ordinance number 2010-62 for the levy and assessment of 2010 taxes for special service area number 26 in the amount of $7,100. This is a West Haven residential. Looking for a motion
so
here?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Brown. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll take a voice vote again. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Tom, great job on answering all those questions.
Kind of wordy.
Yeah. We'll consider
do it all
that.
Again.
Yeah.
For both.
Our next committee of the whole is January 11th. Any new business from anybody on the committee? Anybody from the audience?
Jeff?
Step to the podium. Got to give your name and address again for...
Sure. I am Jeff Ward, and my address is 189 Abbey Lane. Most of you know me as a columnist for the Beacon News, the Courier News, and until recently, the Geneva Sun. Sadly, the Geneva Sun is no more because we know what state the newspaper industry is in. Tonight, I am talking to you as a citizen. I will try to refrain from swearing and try not to use your first names, but I hear you all are used to swearing. We won't
Mr.
get into
it. Mr. Ward, are you referencing me?
I would never do such a thing, Mayor Burns.
I can reference the email you sent recently with all sorts of colorful language.
Well, no, no.
That's a public document. It could be
forwarded. Oh, you can source it, but I made it for a family audience.
I know you did. Well, you haven't met my family.
I even apologize for being a specific way.
Well, you know, what the hell.
And I am going to generally speak extemporaneously, first of all, because I love that word and I rarely get to use it, but I do have some notes. You guys know I'm one of the more, well, except maybe for the mayor, I'm one of the more sane people. I understand what it's like to work in city government. I've sat in more county board meetings than some county board members. Back in the day, I stood side by side with the mayor when the people of St. Peter were not very happy with them. I understand you have to spend money to make money at times. I understand that consultants can save you money. I was one for 17 years. before I decided to be a columnist, go figure. I understand you've cut the 2009 to 2010 budget by 22%. I understand you're not replacing staff when they resign. I understand that this, as being an alderman, can be a thankless job. Being a city employee can be. But as far as aldermen go, you know, just like I chose to be a columnist, and I regularly have my wife hit me with an aluminum baseball bat for that, you two, you chose to do the same thing. But I, and Kevin and I have had this talk, I think it's time to go Paul Dakota on your posteriors. You know, and God bless Paul, for those of you who don't know or weren't around when Paul was around, whatever it is, he was against it. And I don't want to go quite that far, but I got to give Paul credit for, you know, I mean, Paul, man, he treated the city budget like every penny of it was our money. And when, you know, when I read in the Kane County Chronicle that our taxes were going up $48 per household, I got to tell you, I mean, for the first time, I was incensed. You know, I'm not a Tea Partier, but I don't really, in this economy, in with what's going on now, I don't want them going up 4.8 cents. And so, but, and unlike the Tea Partiers, what I did this afternoon is I went to the city budget. And if you ever have insomnia, that's a great route to cure it, all 227 pages of it. Now, some of this stuff may not be accurate because I only had the afternoon. But I am going to save you $1 million right now, or close to it. And we're talking about, what, paying $300,000 if Brenda was correct. Leaf pickup. You know, I think that is one of the most useless things the city does. Mulch your leaves into your lawn. Let's get rid of leaf pickup. Snow removal and the parkway stuff in downtown Geneva. I understand that we've just upped that SSA. Mr. Singer was kind enough to inform me, but the city is still, we taxpayers are still paying 30% of that cost. In that case, I want Bob Piper to come out and shovel 30% of my sidewalk, and I live on a corner, so he's not getting off easy. I do, you know, and the funny thing is, I get emails from little old ladies who say, yeah, they plow the sidewalks, but nobody puts holes, you know, little paths from the parking spaces to the sidewalk, and we can't get through. I've gotten about three emails over the years on that. So, you know, when I want my snow removed from my sidewalk, I get off my butt and go outside, or I make my children get off their butt and go outside. If the downtown merchants want their sidewalks plowed, get off their butts and do it. If they're silly enough not to do that, they deserve to go out of business. So is it a deal, Mr. Piper?
I'll get right on that.
You know, thank you. Kramer, I was the mayor, and the email to which the mayor was referring is, I want to know where I can get a gig, where I can stand outside my house and sit and talk to my buddies while the city pays me. Kramer Trees came out during one of our windstorms last fall, Kramer Trees. And what happened is I called Mr. LeMaire to try to figure out if they were indeed hired by the city. Mr. Mayor did not return my LeMaire. The mayor does return my calls. Mr. LeMaire did not return my call, and thus the email in question. And you are more than welcome to. I am very proud of that email.
I delete all your emails.
Okay, good, as do most people. They stood outside in Fisher Farms with no mature trees for 45 minutes outside their house with their engines running until one of the guys finally walked over to a tree and removed a 4-foot by 1-inch branch. Where do I get that gig? Mosquito abatement. There's $100,000 right there. If you live in the Midwest and you haven't figured out by now, and you're over 12, and you haven't figured out that summer mosquitoes here can carry away small children and animals, and you need to put on off, you know, we don't need the city to take $100,000 right there. I've got to be a little careful about employee benefits. I went through the budget. You know, it would appear that Geneva, and God bless Geneva City employees, you have to deal with folks like me. But it looks like they get dental insurance. And it looks like those claims, you kind of play into a fund, $124,000 for the past 3 years. I mean, the last bastion of employer-paid insurance are unions and municipal and state government. You know, everybody else, all, you know, and I'm self-employed, so you don't want to know what I pay for a $7,000 deductible, you know. So I think the time has come that we need to, and it used to be, okay, we pay city employees less than they can make in the corporate world, so we'll pay for benefits. But in this, what's happened lately, that's not true anymore. Let's look at employee benefits and bring them back to what's reasonable, what people can reasonably expect. Dental? Nobody gets dental insurance anymore. And please correct me if I'm wrong on any of these things. Okay.
Well, I do.
How we
dental.
Do.
Yeah.
Who gets...
Private.
Very, very, very few people get dental insurance in the private sector. And I mean, I did a column on unions when the union went on strike. And, I mean, the people I surveyed, it's like 1 in 20 get dental insurance. And most people are now paying for a great chunk of their health insurance in private companies. I didn't run into, you know, anybody that isn't paying a huge chunk. I was kind of shocked. Unions and government employees are two of the last holdouts. Let's look at, I mean, if we can't afford it, we can't afford it. The downtown flower gardens, Mr. Singer, in fact, of all you aldermen, he should get paid a bit more. He's had to talk to me five times in the past 2 days. Explains we're still subsidizing that. Now, if that isn't a volunteer thing, I know it's not a lot of money. The point isn't the amount.
I beg to differ with you on that one. Because I know firsthand that the city is not supplementing that.
Well, then I will defer to Mr. Singer, who said that there was some money still going into that. Then I will remove, if that's correct, I will remove that one. Plowing cul-de-sacs. I live on a cul-de-sac. I live on a cul-de-sac in Abbey Lane, in Fisher Farms. And God bless the people that come to plow the snow, except the ones that dump the snow and the ton of snow into my driveway. But that's another story. But they go through Fisher Farms fast. They got a lot to do. And they spend 30 minutes in my cul-de-sac plowing it. I am officially here to say, as one of the 8 families on the cul-de-sac, stop it. You know, plow through it one time. Be done. There's only 8 families using it. And we had Christmas morning and Sunday morning. Some poor guy spending 30 to 40 minutes in our cul-de-sac plowing it. And my God, he did a phenomenal job for the 8 families that are going to use it. That, to me, is something that can go. Let's get into the bigger things. Police. The city of Aurora just laid off 8 police officers. Kristen Zeman, their commander, is a good friend of mine. It nearly killed her. I don't want to see anybody lose their job, but I'm tired of subsidizing people. And the police, Sheriff Perez, who, as you know, I covered him, those of you who read my columns, he's got 78 sworn deputies right now in a county the population of 513,000. And you may say, but Jeff, he doesn't have to go into the incorporated area, the incorporated areas. Yes, he does. Foreclosures are at an all-time high, as you know, and every single one of those foreclosures is covered by the sheriff. The city of Geneva, now it looks like we're budgeted for 36 officers, but if you go on the webpage and look at how many have email addresses, it's 32. So I don't know exactly where we are, simply people aren't on that. But I did some math based on talking to 3 different law enforcement people, and based on a 25,000 population city, I think we can get away with 7-8 police officers per shift with 1 supervisor. That would mean we could go down to 24 to 27 police officers. That saves $300,000 right away. The other thing is sergeants are usually 1 to 7. Our sergeants are 1 to 3.5. Okay, and sergeants get paid $20,000 a year more. I mean, I understand the police officers are thinking of unionizing, but if we can't afford them, and in Geneva, God bless this neighborhood, we're not a hotbed of crime. So I think we can cut $300,000 right there. The fire department, I'm a little, like, going through the budget, we had 6 lieutenants in 2008, 2009, and 12 firefighters and some on-call firefighters. Then it went to 12 lieutenants, 12 firefighters, and on-call. I mean, it seems like we're a bit top-heavy, if that's true, but I'm wondering if there's some error there. In a city of Geneva, again, 25,000 people. Now, none of you thought you were immune, did you? I'm going to be real popular by the end of this talk. The city of Geneva has a population of 25,000, and we have 10 aldermen. Now, granted, you guys, really, you don't make enough. What do they pay you, $50 a year? I think as a columnist, I actually make more money than you do. The city of Elgin, 108,000 people, has 6 aldermen. City of Aurora, 175,000 people, has 12 aldermen. You know, I'm talking about a mindset here of nothing being sacred. Consulting, and it's a little difficult to pick out consulting from the budget. You don't line up the budget like the county does. But I know, you know, in this $165,000 for the downtown master plan, again, Alderman Singer helped me out, that part of it is, you know, surveys on how to generate business in downtown and whatnot. And the late Chuck Lencioni and I used to sit and talk together that for a six-pack each, we would consult for downtown Geneva, which includes having decent hours and acting like you're actually happy to have people in your store. I mean, I really think that in some cases we're trying to save stupid people from themselves. And if the merchants don't understand what it takes to run a business and get people in there, you can spend as much money as you want, and it's not going to change a thing. And ours, you know, Chuck and I used to laugh. Best Buy spends millions of dollars on consulting for what the best hours are to keep their stores open. You would think downtown merchants would go, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Pensions. Once again, if we cut the police force, we cut some of the pensions. We cut some, you know, in other places as well. And one of the things that, you know, as I talk to readers, as we've seen it in the Tribune, and this isn't exactly a fair comparison, but I didn't have a lot of time. Steve Persinger, who was Park District, not City, his pension is $107,000 a year, and now he's consulting for the Historical Society. I mean, that is a fairly common thing, and we get to pay for that, regardless that it's the Park District, we're paying for it.
And that's a volunteer position.
Yeah.
It is?
The historic. Yeah, he's just.
Somebody told me that he was actually consulting.
He's absolutely consulting. He's
the, and getting paid, they told me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, look, please.
No, but that's, I'm just trying to correct that. He's doing that.
Please, that's why I said jump in. But but the bottom line is that still doesn't mitigate the point that he's receiving a $107,000 pension. That's absurd.
Why?
That is absurd. Nobody on the planet deserves $107,000 in retirement. No one.
According to you.
According to me. And look what it's doing. The Tribune, you guys are headed towards disaster because of pensions. Because the pensions aren't funded.
Oh, absolutely.
Can we afford to give out $107,000 pensions?
That's a Park District issue, sir.
That's what I pointed out. It's not.
Facts straight.
It's not fair to compare, but that using that as an example. I prefaced it, Mr. Hill, by saying this is a Park District, and it's not fair to make the comparison.
Right.
You know, basically, yeah, and as far as the pensions go, we're better than most, but if you think, most of us were alive in the 70s when the economy just went flat for a decade, and that's what this economy is going to do. We are not going to recover anytime soon, and our pensions, though not nearly as bad as St. Charles and some of the other cities, are underfunded. I mean, if we don't start cutting now, this is only going to get worse. And basically, you know, with all due respect, I'm tired of subsidizing people. No one's subsidizing me. You know, whether it's, I know, you know, we can get into, well, the police will negotiate that they won't take a raise if none of them get laid off. You know, things like that go on all the time. But as I watch the newspaper industry just get decimated because people aren't buying newspapers, the reality is, you know, if the city doesn't have the money, then we can't spend it. Again, I don't want to be asked for $48. I don't want to be asked for $4.80, I don't want to be asked for 4.8 cents right now. Okay? What I'm talking about is a mindset, and I'm going to wrap it up here. The mindset, the amounts are immaterial, and the mayor and I had this talk this afternoon. I'm talking about a mindset where nothing is sacred. I'm talking about a mindset that gets rid of kind of that government entitlement mentality. For example, when I hear people talk about we're losing sales tax money to the internet, I mean, the universe has gone along for 14 billion years, most of which without sales tax, and it's going to continue to survive. You are not entitled to sales tax. You have chosen to enact it, but no one is entitled to it. And if anything, we should be looking at ways to get the tax burden completely down. It's a mindset. Mr. Piper, you're looking at me askance. I'm talking about...
I think your mindset is a complete oversimplification of everything that we do.
You're entitled to that. But I
that's what the fact
but, is. But I know.
I think that's what the fact is. I think a lot of the things you're stating we couldn't do simply because they're illegal. We can't simply start cutting the police department.
Aurora just did.
We can't simply start cutting aldermen in this room. We can't.
Bob, let him finish and we'll.
Go ahead and wrap it up and then we'll go back and I'm sure Mary's got a...
But I'm talking about a mindset. I don't think the city of Geneva has cut to the extent it can, and I don't think you've begun to cut to what you're going to need to cut, considering that the new pension law is coming into effect, and you are going to have to fund these pensions to a far higher degree. Where is that money going to come from? And especially if the economy doesn't improve but just slides along sideways for a long time. So it's going to happen whether you agree with me or not. I'm talking about a mindset. I'm talking about cutting till it hurts. I'm talking about cutting till it bleeds. You know, I've seen the sheriff do it. I've seen the county clerk do it, you know, where they just are cutting. Sheriff Perez is back to 2004 levels. You know, I mean, he cut to the bone, and he has to run a jail. I just don't see the city doing it. I don't think you should be asking anyone right now for any more money. And I normally would write a column about it, but I didn't have time to affect it. I still may, but that's it.
Well, Jeff, thank you for speaking. There are some inaccuracies in what you're saying, and we could be here all night debating that, obviously. Alderman Maladra has one quick comment.
Oh, it wasn't going to be quick.
Then you want to back off on that?
The adjective that we want to hear.
There was just one phrase you used that bothered me, the government mindset. I think that your view of the government mindset and mine are different. My view of the government mindset is we serve a constituency that includes people like you who are saying, I don't need all these city services. And it includes people who call me up and yell when we're not quick enough to fill a pothole. They demand more city services. So the government mindset, to me, is trying to find a way to meet the demands of both those constituencies in as cost-effective manner as possible. We've cut the budget by 20-some percent. That's a pretty damn good job. You're saying cut till it bleeds, cut till it bleeds, cut till it bleeds. The point at which it bleeds is different for you than it is for your neighbor.
I agree.
Or
I can only
for the neighbor down the street. Right. So our job is to balance your perspective with the perspective of people who completely disagree with you on that kind of thing. And so I would say we're doing a damn good job, number one. Number two, I would say don't lump us in with this government mindset like a bunch of mindless bureaucrats just out to tax the public as long as they can. Because that's not the idea at all. At some point, I suppose it is, but not here. Because we got your wife goes after you with a baseball bat. My neighbors come after me with shotguns. So it, you know,
and I'm right there with you. Yeah. But Mr. Maladra, I did say right off the bat. Compared to the county, mm-hmm. the chairman, you guys are Jack Benny. And I did say about the 22%. And the mindset is what I talked to our esteemed mayor this afternoon, and he goes, "But Leaf." Collection is only 90 cents per household.
Not
see,
just
that's,
that.
That's the mindset.
But Leaf,
no, Mr. Ward, let's clarify. What I stated was that the cost associated with Leaf pickup, mm-hmm. I also said was, I would encourage you or anyone else who wants to do away with Leaf pickup, do away with brush pickup, eliminate cops, eliminate what have you, marshal the troops, come to a meeting, lobby,
right,
and we'll play the game. There's no problem at all. But when we discussed relatively civilly whether to even increase costs and reduce service or vice versa, all hell broke loose.
It was ridiculous.
The most calls I receive annually are regarding leaf pickup,
brush,
snow removal, and why the hell did you tow my car?
Not in that order.
I don't care if we have 1,000 cops. And it doesn't matter, or 2,000 firefighters.
And Mayor Burns, you know I understand that. I am here as
you
a citizen
have had good conversations,
giving my one perspective to try to balance those others out. And I think there's actually, I am going to be marshaling the troops.
Good,
and
okay.
I do think there's more people that feel like I do.
No question.
As Mr. Singer has afforded me that he barely can make it through church these days without hearing from people who think like I do.
Well, what's interesting, if I can...
You still have the floor.
...sort of continue. I'll use the leaf pickup thing as a good example. Cost too much, cost too much, cost too much. So to control costs, we eliminated the extra pickup and just stuck with the agreement. Mm-hmm. Then the calls started flooding in saying, you left leaves in front of my house, you left leaves in front of my house. So today you're moaning about $48 a year. Tomorrow, when you don't get a service that you've come to expect, you'll moan about that as well.
I resent the moaning implication.
Individually, I think I could probably find a group of people that would agree with item A but disagree with item B, C, and D and things like that. That's the other problem. To cut here and there is possible, but the overall impact is minimal. To cut a whole swath the way you've described, you'll bring in a bunch of people who will moan about $48 a year, but we won't get consensus on what services to cut.
I understand, but sometimes, Alderman Mulodger, you have to say no, and leaf pickup is unnecessary. Sometimes you have to educate people that, you know, mulch them into your lawn. I have never, or if you want them gone, put them in those yard waste bags and get them gone. Leaf pickup doesn't cost that much. I'm talking about a mindset. I'm talking about what Paul Dakota used to do. It was a little overboard, but saying, you know what? We shouldn't be in this business.
Right.
If people want to have their leaves removed, they can pay for it.
Yeah, if somebody's lodged over here and saying no all the time and you think somebody else is lodged over here and saying yes all the time, you kind of need a catalyst to move to the middle.
And I understand. But I'm not moaning. I'm saying I'm trying to change a mindset, and I still see it.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. We'll duly note them. There's another gentleman there that has a comment. You could step to the microphone.
My name is Steve. My last name is Fox. Address is 417 429 Hamilton Street. I, too, will try and be briefer and speak extemporaneously. Unlike my friend Jeff, I am a Tea Party supporter. My purpose today, and I commend all of you. I've talked with Mayor Burns several times. Ellen does a great job. Mr. Unst does a great job. We're not in a crisis, folks. All of municipal finance, right down to leaf collection, is built on ever-increasing property taxes. Because of my profession, I'm oftentimes asked, what's going to happen with real estate? And I answer the same way, whether you live in Eagle Brook or Mill Creek or a more modest neighborhood, if you could turn the prices back to 2007, how many people in Eagle Brook would sell? Maybe not all, but quite a few. How many people in those subdivisions bought that home with the understanding that they were going to live there until they died? Very few. How many 30-year-olds can you convince the property is going to go up and up and it's a great investment? So I would encourage all of you, the downtown plan is great, but to build it going forward on ever-increasing property values will not work. I think you've all done a great job. I commend you. I know you get paid big bucks. But, you know, it's my purpose here is just to encourage to think differently because it's not going to happen. House Bill 6484, sponsored by Mr. Ryan out of Wisconsin, will take care of the pensions. It brings transparency to the pensions. If there's not an issue, then do per-day interest on $50 billion. And Google exponential function. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Anybody else from the audience looking for a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Hill. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 9-0. We have another meeting. We'll take a few-minute recess while Lynn gets up here and does his...
I'll never use that.
You're not listening, Ralph.
Guy in the blue jacket.
All right, we're gonna. Can you hear? We're going to call the city council meeting in order. Could you please take a roll call?
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Ralph D'Antino?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollack. Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
All right, we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll have Mr. Lamberg lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have a long agenda, so I'm going to look for a couple motions here. For one is to, we have some numbers that have to be changed. Item 5, we have a wrong number, and I think it's item 14. So we have to amend the agenda with that. So I'm looking for a motion on item 5 to change it from 99.96 to
10,999.92. So moved.
I'm sorry, what was that number, the second number you gave?
Item 5 will be $10,999.92.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right, motion was made by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Marks. Anybody have any questions about that? Please call the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Now we're looking for the same thing on item 14. Instead of 138.4, we're at 136.8, and you have that sheet on ordinance 2010-59 on your desk. Again, we're looking for a motion to change
it.
So
move.
Second.
Alderman Singer, seconded by Alderman Marks. Any questions, comments? Take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Okay, now we're looking for a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Piper?
Yes.
All right, we were going to include items 4 through 17 in a consent agenda since they were all unanimous as amended.
Move to include items 4 through 17 as consent items.
As consent items.
As amended.
Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Piper. Any comments, questions? Everybody understand what we did? Please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Now we're looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
So, second.
Alderman Hill with a second by Alderman Singer. Any comments, questions? Please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
So that brings us down to any new business? Motion to adjourn.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, we need a motion to waive the fees.
Oh, yeah.
So I move that we waive the fees for tonight's special.
Your vote, no. Alderman Brown?
I'll second it.
Yes.
Alderman Maladra, second. Roll call is necessary again.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Now we're looking for a motion to adjourn.
Where's Jeff when we need him?
Oh, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
May I have the opportunity to wish all my council members and all my friends and fellow citizens of the City of Geneva a Happy New Year.
Very good.
Same to you.
Same to you. Thank you. Now we need a motion to it. Oh, Alderman Marks.
I just want to make one comment. I think we all deserve the streets and sanitation to receive a round of applause. They were out there on the holiday weekend making sure that the roads were safe and traveled. And I think, like firemen, they give up time with their family to make that happen. And I appreciate that.
And they did a great job.
And they did a great job.
And you live in a cul-de-sac.
And I live in a cul-de-sac.
Especially my cul-de-sac.
My eight neighbors want applause. Chairman Pintino.
Yes.
I also do want to commend Public Works because the water department was out on Christmas Eve across the street on our block, and did a fine job, got the thing repaired, and they had to take time off from their family. So,
Dan, take that back to all the people at the city, the Public
thank
Works.
Them.
Thank you.
And you went out and brought
anybody else?
I did offer cookies and coffee.
Yeah. Dan's got all of our cars warming up now. Motion to adjourn. Try that again. Oh. Piper's still on that one. Alderman Hill, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Nobody's opposed. Good night, everybody.
Yes.